Well, good morning. Happy Easter. Let us all proclaim this morning that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. I welcome you, Grace Baptist Church, and those others who may be listening to our Easter service this morning. Again, we just want to thank Austin for coming into the church and recording and posting the message on our website, and we just thank you for his dedication and his time and working around his schedule to be here with us to do this for you. Also, let me again thank you for all of your faithfulness and keeping up with your tithes and offerings. I can let you know that we are paying our monthly bills thanks to your faithfulness, and I would encourage you to continue to remember your church with your tithes and your offerings, giving them to the Lord as He directs. And then lastly, let me remind you that we are still under the governor's order, and we will remain closed here until at least April 21st. Now, that may be extended if and when that is. We will certainly let you know about that. But this morning, we are here to celebrate perhaps the greatest day in Christianity, the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, rose from the dead. If you have been worshiping Him all week, you know that last week was known as Holy Week, and we had our Good Friday service here, just as we always do. And if you haven't heard that yet, it is recorded, and it's on our website. You can certainly listen to that again. And we celebrated Good Friday, and we know that over the weekend, that according to the Bible, Jesus was in the grave, in the tomb, but on that first Easter morning, the Bible tells us He rose again. And I wanted to read to you this morning from Matthew chapter 28. And so I hope you have your Bible. How many Bibles are in your house? And you could all probably be holding them up right now and showing them to me through the internet. But we know that most people have several Bibles in your home, and I trust you're using them. And I want you to go ahead and get one, and we'll turn to Matthew chapter 28. Starting in verse 1, we will read 8 verses. You can find, by your turning there, you can find the resurrection story in all 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and maybe this afternoon you want to go through all of those. They're just short verses, and you can read all of the Gospels. But Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb or the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door of that tomb, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto those women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." This is one of my favorite verses, verse 6 of all the Bible. "The angel said to those women, He is not here, for He has risen just like He said. Come and see the place where the Lord laid. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead. And behold, He goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they," meaning the women, "departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples the words that they had heard from the angel." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. For Father, today is Easter Sunday. Father, what a glorious day for Christians all across the world, Father, to celebrate the day that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, rose from the dead. Father, we know that on Friday, on Good Friday, when He died on the cross, He conquered sin. But when He rose from the grave on that first Easter morning, He conquered death. And Father, we gratefully acknowledge that You are the one who did this. You are the one who accomplished Your perfect will, not only having Your Son die for the sins of mankind, but to rise up out of that tomb, defeating death. And so, Father, today we celebrate. We celebrate that glorious Easter morning, that Resurrection Sunday. And Father, we echo those words of the angel. He is not here. He has risen just like He said. Father, let me just pray for those who are listening this morning, our family at Grace Baptist Church. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would give them encouraging words today. Father, may all of us rejoice together that our Savior, our Lord Jesus, is alive today. And Father, that one day we'll be with Him, alive forevermore. And for that we pray, and we all say together, Amen. Progressive theologians have often taught that Jesus' resurrection was not a bodily resurrection. Rather, they claim it was a more spiritual or metaphorical resurrection. Now, that might sound like a deep concept and something that we might have to think about someday when we don't have anything else to do, but a metaphorical resurrection is not a true resurrection. For the Bible clearly states that the angels boldly, unapologetically, holding nothing back, proclaimed, "He is not here, He is risen," just like He said. The resurrection of Jesus on that first Easter morning did in fact take place, amen? And I believe that with all of my heart and soul and mind and being, I believe that that took place. Even though I was not there 2,000 years ago, I believe on that first Easter morning, it was, yes, just like the angel said, He is not here. Jesus had risen from the dead in a bodily resurrection. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives me hope and assurance that I too will one day be resurrected to live with Jesus for all eternity. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin, but with His resurrection, Jesus defeated death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "It is appointed unto men once to die." Truth of the matter is, we are all going to die. It's always been said, death is part of living. Death is inevitable to all of us. Death is coming to all of us. And there is no way to escape death but for the rapture to take place before you die. And I pray daily that the rapture would take place. And it could happen at any moment. But for the Christian, for the believer, Jesus' resurrection means so much. Because although physical death is coming for all of us, our hope is in Jesus, the one who was resurrected, the one who defeated death, the one who will give us eternal life. The greatest verse in all of the Bible teaches and proclaims these words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life." Only the Christ who resurrected Himself, who conquered death, can even proclaim that we can all have everlasting life. How else can someone like Buddha, for instance, or Confucius, for instance, or Muhammad, for instance, how can they say we will have everlasting life when they themselves are dead? Only Jesus Christ, the begotten Son of God, who rose from the dead, who is alive forevermore, only He can proclaim that we too can have everlasting life because He is life. On that first Easter morning, when the disciples saw the tomb in which they had previously buried the body of Jesus in, it was empty. The burial garments were lying there. They were in such a shape and place which indicated their abandonment was by the orderly departure of the body of Jesus. And later when Jesus appeared to His disciples, it was in His bodily form. He even said in Luke 24, verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, see me. For a spirit..." Because you see, they had thought perhaps He was a ghost, but Jesus was clarifying, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have here standing before you." And when He appeared to those disciples by the Sea of Tiberias in John chapter 21, the Bible records that Jesus spoke to them. He used His very own hands to make a fire, and He ate fish with them. You see, Jesus' resurrected body occupied human form, and it performed the human functions of movement. Jesus talked, He walked, He heard, He ate. And yet at the same time, he did not need a door to enter a room. It was his same earthly body in its glorified form that Jesus took out of that tomb, leaving it empty. You see, Jesus was no longer in that tomb. He had arisen from the grave, just like he said. Amen. And so this morning, I want us to look at 3 points. The first one is the bodily resurrection. The second one is the resurrection is essential. And the third one is, what does the resurrection mean to us in 2020? And so that first one, the bodily resurrection, any notion that seeks to disprove the bodily resurrection of Jesus is confronted with the appearances of Jesus in his own body to others. You see, there are people who will say, I don't believe in the bodily resurrection. There are those who are trying to disprove that Jesus was in a bodily form, a bodily resurrection even took place. The problem with that argument is we find in Scripture that Jesus' appearance in his own body was in front of others with amazing frequency. On many occasions, the Bible affirms the fact of his bodily resurrection. Perhaps the most direct of all is a statement found in Luke's account in the book of Acts, where Luke reports in chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, meaning the disciples and others, 40 days. He's talking about when Jesus arose from the grave, he walked among men, he was on earth for 40 days prior to his ascension to the Father. And so Luke is recording these many infallible proofs. He was seen by many for 40 days, and he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so here we find Luke saying, listen, Jesus showed himself alive. He was speaking about many infallible proofs, or we have many infallible proofs. We have evidence of Jesus appearing to several people. We have evidence that this was not a one-time thing. He spoke and was seen by several for 40 days. And we have proof that this man, Jesus, who had risen from the dead, who was seen by others for 40 days, he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Who else would have known all of these things about the kingdom of God but for Jesus Christ? So what are we to do with these many infallible proofs that Jesus spoke about? As I said, Jesus did not just show himself to one or two or a few people. He appeared to more than 500 in those 40 days after he arose from the grave. And all 500 could not have been telling the same lie. No, they were telling the same truth. They were telling and they were a part of these infallible proofs. They were the evidence that he arose from the grave. Years ago, George Beverly Shea, the lead singer for Billy Graham throughout most of Billy Graham's crusades for 50 years, was once asked how much he knew about God. To which Mr. Shea replied, I do not know much about God, but what I do know, he has changed my life. We may not be able to take all of this evidence into a scientific laboratory and prove it scientifically. But if we accept any fact of history, we must accept the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and because of that fact, Jesus Christ, he himself, has changed millions of lives over the last 2,000 years, and you are probably one of those lives. How else was your life changed? It wasn't by chance. It wasn't a quick fix book you might have read. It wasn't somebody saying, hey, change or else. Your life was changed because of a resurrected Jesus Christ. And I think we can all speak just like George Beverly Shea. Oh, I may not know a whole lot about God, but I know this. He changed my life through the power of the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus was not simply a postscript to the earthly life of Jesus, but it is one of a series of redemptive events that are linked in a chain from eternity past to eternity future. These events include the incarnation, which is the virgin birth of Jesus, the crucifixion, Jesus becoming the perfect, sinless, unblemished sacrificial lamb, his resurrection, his ascension, witnessed by the disciples and others, and his imminent second coming, which is coming very soon. If any of these events is left out of that equation, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and his second coming, those five events, if any one of those is left out of the equation, it would be the missing link which would destroy the chain and thus make redemption impossible. And so for all of those naysayers who want to say Jesus didn't resurrect, when you take that element out of the other four, what you're left with is a broken chain, and our redemption would be impossible. The second thing, the resurrection is essential. With the COVID-19 virus upon us, and having been with us the last month or so, one of the questions we have facing us is, how much longer, Pastor? I don't know. Will it last another 2 weeks? Will it last two more months? Will this come back next year? None of us know. What we do know right now is there's a lot of talk today about what is essential and what is not. Businesses and organizations are being labeled essential and non-essential. By the way, churches are designated mostly as non-essential. Daily trips outside the home are likewise labeled essential or non-essential. We are told by our governor and those in authority to stay at home unless doing an essential errand, such as going to work, or getting food or medicine, or seeking medical care, or checking on a loved one. But with Christianity, can I just tell you this? There are two essentials, and here's what they are. The first essential in Christianity is the virgin birth. I have shared this with you in the last year and a half. A year and a half ago, two Christmases passed, I saw more writings and heard more people saying, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth anymore. As long as you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you're okay. I dare say, no, you are wrong. We have to believe in the virgin birth. That's one of the essentials of Christianity. The second essential of Christianity is, in fact, Jesus' bodily resurrection. One of the foundation stones of our faith is that Jesus rose from the dead. And Christianity, as a system of truth, would collapse if the resurrection is rejected. The Apostle Paul proclaimed to us, here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and so is your faith. Can I read that again? Because that's so essential to our Christianity. This is so essential to our walk as Christians. 1 Corinthians 15:14, write that down. 1 Corinthians 15:14, go to it, look at it later. If Christ be not risen, if this didn't happen, Paul is saying our preaching is in vain. And not only that, your faith is in vain. It's useless. The gospel message, that is, the good news of salvation, is related to a belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so along with Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus' resurrection was the central theme of the preachers of the early church, especially in Acts during the beginning of the Christian era. And these early preachers proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus Christ in bodily form was central to the gospel. That is what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Let me just read that to you. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that, listen, here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And in verse 4, that he was buried, and that he rose again on that third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel message. That's that chain. That's those essential elements of our salvation that he says there in 1 Corinthians 15:3 again. That which I see, Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again that third day. Years ago, Charles Reynolds Brown told of a conversation between French philosopher Auguste Comte and Scottish essayist Thomas Carlyle. Comte declared his intention of starting a new religion that would entirely wipe out or replace the religion of Jesus Christ. This new religion was to have no mysteries. It was to be as plain as the multiplication table. And its name was to be positivism. To which Thomas Carlyle replied, "Very good. All you will need to do will be able to speak as never a man ever spoke before. Live as never a man lived before, be crucified, rise from the dead, and then get the world to believe that you are still alive. Then and only then will your new religion ever have a chance in replacing the religion found in Jesus Christ." End quote. Folks, our personal salvation is related to a belief in the resurrection of Jesus. We believe in a risen Savior, as that song goes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds my future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. When Paul gave the formula of a saving faith, it was centered in a belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our salvation, part of it is believing this fact that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Whenever the argument arises that the resurrection of Jesus did not involve the reanimation of his body, those who hold this view argue that the resurrection is resurrection from death itself and not from the grave. They say that Jesus immediately rose out of death unto a spiritual life with God. This means a spiritual resurrection, but not a physical resurrection. And this is what many modern preachers perhaps are proclaiming on Easter morning when they talk about but do not explain the full resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many today are claiming that Jesus did not bodily arise, that he only rose spiritually. They firmly claim that he really does not matter what kind of resurrection it was. It doesn't matter, just so it was some kind of resurrection. What they're saying here is you can call it a bodily resurrection or a spiritual resurrection. It really doesn't matter as long as it's a resurrection. And I say that's hogwash, that's wrong. We need to understand and know it was a physical, bodily resurrection. I believe that's hearsay otherwise. And I do not believe for a second that it was only a spiritualness and it wasn't a bodily resurrection. Because you see, taking anything away from a bodily resurrection of Jesus is to limit what God can or cannot do. Amen? God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says. Jesus was seen in bodily form, the Bible says. And so do not let modern preaching or teaching take you away from what the Bible says. God's Word says that Jesus rose from the dead just like he said. The New Testament Scriptures speak unanimously of eyewitnesses after eyewitnesses after eyewitnesses of seeing firsthand the resurrected Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John chapter 20, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things to her. In Mark chapter 16, verse 6, and He saith unto them, the angel, be not afraid. You are seeking Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him, pointing to the empty tomb. In Mark 16, 7, but go on your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goes before you into Galilee, and there you shall see Him, as He said unto you. Later in that same chapter of Mark 16 and verse 14, afterward, Jesus appeared unto His 11 as they sat down to eat. In Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 36, we find another account of Christ's appearances. There in verse 36, and as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them. That's what I said earlier. Jesus was a bodily resurrection, but yet He needed no door to enter a room. Here we find the disciples in an upper room, all locked into place, and all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and appears to them, stands in the midst of them, and He says there in chapter 24 of Luke, verse 36, peace be unto you. But the disciples were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a ghost. And Jesus said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, and look at my feet. See that it is I myself. Handle me, see me, for a ghost, a spirit, does not have flesh and bones, as you see me have here standing before you. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, do you have any meat or food? And listen to this. Here's what they did in verse 42. They gave Him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And Jesus, who was standing there in the midst of them, who had just said, touch my hands and my feet, see that I have flesh and bones. Verse 43 says, Jesus took that fish and that honeycomb, and He ate it with them. In John chapter 20, we read of this account after 8 days of being alive on the earth after His resurrection. He came to His disciples, and Thomas was with them. And came Jesus, and the doors were shut. He stood in the midst. He said, peace be unto you. Then He said to Thomas, reach here your finger and behold my hands. And reach your hand and thrust it into my side. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, the soldier took his own spear and shoved it in Jesus' side, and blood and water came gushing out of his side to make sure he was dead. And so there was probably this gaping hole, if you will. And so Jesus tells Thomas, stick your hand in this wound of mine and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. But from this day forward, blessed are those that have not seen me and yet they still believe. You see, Thomas saw Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Luke records this Jesus that God has raised up. We are all witnesses to Him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 through 8, and He was seen of Cephas, Jesus, and then He was seen by the 12. And after that, Jesus was seen of over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. From those 500, some have died. After that, He was seen of James, and then all of the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me, Paul, as one born out of due time. What Paul was saying here is, look, Jesus was seen by Cephas. Cephas can testify to that. He was seen by the 12 disciples. They can testify to that. He was seen by 500 all at once. Yes, some of those 500 have since died, but many are still alive. And I believe what Paul was saying here is, don't believe me. Go ask those guys and see what they'll tell you. They'll tell you the same thing. They'll tell you that, yes, he was seen by James and all the apostles. And Paul says, I'm here to tell you, I also saw him. Within that short span of 3 days, both these events, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, took place bodily and not symbolically. Make no mistake about it, it was Jesus' body that was broken and blood shed that was on that cross. It was Jesus' body on that cross that said, it is finished. It was Jesus crying out, Father, forgive them. It was Jesus who had his last breath on that cross. It was his body. Later on, it was Jesus' body that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, Oh, governor, sir, can we have the body so that we might use it and put the burial rites to it? We have myrrh and spices, and we want to wrap it properly as according to our Jewish custom. We want to take the body of Jesus. And it was the body of Jesus that Pilate said, yes, you may have it, Joseph. It was Pilate who said, give the body of Jesus to Joseph of Arimathea. And the Bible records that same Joseph took the body of Jesus and anointed it and wrapped it in cloth and put that body in a tomb. It was a body of Jesus on the cross. It was the body of Jesus in that tomb. And it was the body of Jesus which came out of that tomb. These were all tangible events, not merely spiritual. There was no doubt in anybody's mind that the body of Jesus was crucified unto death. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that the body of Jesus was taken down off that cross and anointed and properly wrapped. It was no doubt in anybody's mind that it was the body of Jesus that was laid in that tomb. All of these events were watched by men and women of flesh and blood. They were not fabricated stories or hallucinations or folklore. It was a happening, tangible event. The same can be said about his resurrection. It was the bodily form of Jesus Christ that came out of that tomb. The resurrection of Jesus was the confirmation of the nature and ministry of Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 identifies Jesus, and he declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection was also the pledge and promise of our own resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul writes, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those also which sleep in Jesus, or who have since died in Christ as a believer, God will bring with him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and becomes the first fruits of those that have died. Furthermore, Jesus staked the validity of all of his claims and reality of all of his works upon his own resurrection. Everything that he was, everything that he said, everything that he did hinged upon his rising from the dead. By that fact and that fact alone, Jesus would be judged whether he was true or false. By that fact, the question would be answered by all, was he or was he not the Son of God? Because he did rise from the dead, he can declare himself to be the very Son of God. Who else can make that claim? Who else? As I said earlier, Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Any other God, who else can make that claim to be the Son of God but for that person who actually rose up from the dead and conquered sin and death? Only that man, one man, can make that claim to be the very Son of God. And that's the same man who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one is coming to the Father except by me, Jesus. Lastly and thirdly, what does the resurrection mean to us in 2020? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us amid the COVID-19 virus? What does Jesus' resurrection have to do with us today with job losses? Massive unemployment. I read on Thursday, another 6.6 million people signed up for unemployment. In the nation, we have about 17 million people out of work. That's about 10 or 15% of our workforce. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us amongst all of this? The stock market is declining. Businesses and churches are closing. What does the resurrection mean to us? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? When it seems like our life is falling apart, I think it means this. It means the presence of the living Christ. Jesus Christ is that living companion of every person who puts their trust in Him. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus is that guarantee, if you will, that life has new meaning. After the crucifixion, the beleaguered disciples were in despair. And they sat around talking to each other in Luke chapter 24. We trusted that He was the one which would have redeemed Israel. Besides all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. This was before they knew that Jesus had resurrected. They thought Jesus was going to bring freedom to Israel, redeem Israel, get us out of this curse of the Roman Empire. And all they remember was we saw our hero, our king, our leader. He was crucified on Friday, and He is in the tomb. What happened here? And they were all dejected in despair. I think they forgot Jesus' words. He said He would be crucified. And He said, on the third day, though, I'll rise again. There was anguish and despair and tragedy in their mindset. Perhaps just like it is in your mind today. Anguish, anxiety, despair, tragedy. What's going to happen to us? Are we ever going to go back to work? Is the COVID-19 virus going to get me or one of my family members? Are we ever going to get back to normal? A lot of anguish, anxiety, despair. Perhaps life in your mind has lost its meaning and purpose. But when the resurrection of Jesus became apparent to those disciples who were sitting around in anguish and despair, life took on a new meaning. It had purpose and it had reason. You may be one of those persons in the midst of this pandemic that feels your life has lost meaning and purpose. This morning, can I just encourage you with the resurrection of Jesus? He is there for you. He is there for me. He said He would be there. He said He would never leave us or forsake us. He said He would be with us always until the end of the world. And when there's nowhere else to turn, you and I can always turn to the resurrected Jesus. Years ago, David Livingston, who was a lifelong missionary to Africa, once addressed a group of students at Glasgow University. When he arose to speak, he bore on his body the marks of his African struggles. Severe illnesses on nearly 30 occasions had left him looking very haggard and old. His left arm, once crushed by a lion, hung limp at his side. After describing his trials and tribulations of 30 years as a missionary in Africa, he said these words, and I quote, "Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all of the years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile?" He answered his own question. "It was this," he said. And he repeated these words, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Dr. Livingston went on to say, on these words, on those blessed words of Jesus, I staked everything. And these words have never failed me. For you see, Jesus' presence, the resurrected Jesus, was always with me. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us today? Secondly, it means the prayers of the living Christ. The presence of the living Christ and the prayers of the living Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is now at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." In other words, there is a man at the right hand of God the Father. He is in a living body that still has the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. He is the one who is interceding for us as our high priest. He is interceding with God the Father right now, every time we go to him in prayer. The presence of the living Christ and the prayers of the living Christ. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to us today? Thirdly, it means the power of the living Christ. The resurrection made it possible for Jesus Christ to be identified with all Christians in all ages to give them power to serve him. Amen? Jesus said in John 14, 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Paul even prayed in Philippians 3, 10, "That I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death." Oh, that we would understand and know and realize and experience the power of the living Christ. Amen. Jesus' resurrection presence gives us strength and power for each day's task. And don't we need that more than ever today in these troubling, uncharted, unknown times? Look, I don't know what's going to happen with the COVID-19. I don't know if Grace Baptist Church will ever open its doors again. I pray that we do, and I hope it's soon. I don't know what that's going to look like, even if we do open our doors again. But I do know this. Whatever our church looks like or wherever we find ourselves, we're going to have the power of the living Christ. Jesus' resurrection gives us the power and strength to face each day. Amen? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean for us today? It means the presence of the living Christ. It means the prayers of the living Christ. It means the power of the living Christ. And fourthly, it gives the pattern of the living Christ for our new bodies. The resurrected body of Jesus Christ is the pattern of what our bodies will be like when we too are raised from the dead. Last Sunday, we were watching the movie, The Ten Commandments, the old movie. Love to watch it. Usually ABC or some channel will show it around Easter time. And for the first time, I've watched that movie lots of times, every year seems like, but I saw a scene in there that I'd never really focused on before. It was a scene where Pharaoh had told Moses after the 10th plague, you can take your people and leave Egypt and go and get out. And there was that mass scene where Moses was leading everybody out. Everybody had their carts and all of their belongings and their sheep and their cattle and everything, and trying to herd everybody together to leave Egypt and go to the promised land of Israel. But there was this one scene where they had some people carrying what looked like a dead body wrapped up in some kind of cloth on some kind of an ark of some sort. And they were carrying that, and someone said, look, someone has died, something like that. And someone pointed out, that's the bones of David. I'm sorry, maybe it was Abraham. But it was the bones of our father, Jacob. The bones of Jacob, not David, I'm sorry about that. It was the bones of Jacob. And they were carrying the bones of Jacob to go to that promised land. My point is this. There was no doubt about it that that wrapped body was bones, and it was dead. But see, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And there was no doubt about it that he had a bodily form. And the resurrection of Jesus, what that means to us today, it gives us the pattern, if you will, of what our new bodies will look like. We're not going to look like the dead bones of Jacob or Isaac or Abraham or David or all of those founding fathers. We're not going to be just bones. We're going to have a new body. The resurrected body of Jesus Christ is what our bodies will look like when we too are raised from the dead. Here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the works whereby he is able even to subdue all things under himself. We're going to have a new bodily form. Aren't you glad? We're going to have a glorified body, just like Jesus. We couldn't have that if Jesus had not arisen from the dead. We couldn't have that hope or assurance. And then lastly, what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for us today? It means the promise of the living Christ, of the returning Messiah. The resurrection means the presence of a living Christ, the prayers of the living Christ, the power of the living Christ, the pattern of the living Christ, and the promise of the living Christ returning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The entire plan for the future has its key in the resurrection. I was on a conference call with several pastors the other day, and one of the points that they were sharing with us is, this is not the time to say, because we have the COVID-19 virus, that the end of the world is coming. Nobody knows that for sure. It might be one of the signs of the end. Nobody knows. We do know this, that Jesus is coming again. The Bible says it very clearly. The next thing on God's calendar is the imminence of the rapture. And then if you believe in me, like me, the tribulation happens, and then the second coming. But we know the second coming is coming, and his entire future plan is based on the resurrection, and here's why. Unless Jesus has been raised from the dead, there can be no returning king, amen? If Jesus is still in the tomb, how is he going to come back again? He's already risen from the dead, and so therefore, the future plan of God is in the power of that resurrection, that Jesus will come again. In fact, when the disciples stood at the place of Jesus' ascension, in Acts chapter 1, they were given angelic assurance that the Jesus of the resurrection would be the Jesus of the returning glory. Here's what they said in Acts 1:11. You men of Galilee, talking to the disciples and anyone else who was there, why are you standing gazing up into heaven? Jesus had just ascended. For you see, the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner, in the same way you have just seen him go into heaven. They were saying, listen, the resurrected Jesus is coming back. The word of God assures us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore be you ready. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. Simply put, Jesus cannot come back if he had never rose in the first place. But simply put, and the truth of it is this, he did rise up from the grave. Amen? I'm going to say that again so that you can just shout there in your living room or in your kitchen or your bedroom, wherever you're listening. Jesus did rise up from the grave. And all of God's people said, amen. He came out of that tomb. He ascended to the Father. And he is coming back. The angel said, he is not here. He is risen. Just like he said. Our leader, our king, our redeemer, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, he is alive today and will be alive forevermore. And one day soon, all who believe in his resurrection will be alive with him forevermore. I want to close with Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus, spirit meaning capital S, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make you alive in your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. He is not here. He is risen, just like he said. And today, as we celebrate Easter Sunday, let us never forget that element of the gospel message, the virgin birth, Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and his ultimate return for his people. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to preach your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come into the homes of the people of Grace Baptist Church here when we're told to stay home because of a virus. Father, I'm so thankful that even though we have to stay home, we can still preach and get the message of Easter Sunday out to our people. Father, I pray, Lord, that this message gives them encouragement. I pray, Lord, that it would lift their spirits. Things are a mess in our world today. Sickness, disease, job losses, market decline. People are out of work, maybe can't pay their rent, short of food. Nobody knowing what the future holds. But Father, through all of that, we can find joy and we can be encouraged and we can take solace in knowing that the Lord and Savior of our life, the one who we worship, he is alive today because he rose up out of that tomb just like he said he would. And Father, I would pray that anyone listening today, if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they would just simply there bow their heads and just acknowledge that they're a sinner, that they believe that Jesus was crucified, died on the cross, and rose again, that he is the one that can take away their sins, that he is the one who can provide a relationship with you, Heavenly Father, that they recognize that he is the one, Jesus, the one and only way to eternal life. If you just prayed that prayer, I just want to just pray with you that The Bible says that if you really meant it, if you believe it by faith, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. And all of the angels at this very moment of heaven are celebrating that. Father, I thank you if that would be the case, that someone got saved today, maybe several. Father, I would pray again for those who are listening who have already saved. Maybe just needed some encouragement today. Maybe just needed to hear once again that Jesus is alive and that he's coming back. And we serve a risen Savior. Father, continue to watch over us, care for us. We pray, Lord, that this virus would be dealt with and eradicated by you. Father, if not, we pray, Lord, you would be with our nurses and doctors, those on the front lines, treating this, keep them safe. Father, I pray for our church family, that you would keep all of us safe from this virus. Father, that we would fall on our hands and our knees and our faces, begging you to keep us safe. Father, I pray that even through something like this, we would all turn back to you like never before, reading your word, gleaning from it, studying it, just speaking Jesus. For Father, he is alive. I pray, Lord, for our people that they would be alive because Jesus is alive in their heart and in their life. And Father, we can face tomorrow. We can face tomorrow because we know that Jesus lives. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you again for being with us today. And thank you for your prayers, your support. Let me just try to encourage you to call on each other, text each other, send cards or letters. That's kind of old-fashioned. If you'd rather do that, that's fine. But keep in touch with everyone. We thank you for the texts and calls that we get and the prayers, your support and your love. And hopefully, prayerfully, this will all be over with in a matter of a few weeks, if not a month, whatever it is. We're going to stay together. We're going to hang in there together. And we're going to get through this. And I just wanted you to know that Gene and I have talked about this. And we're going to postpone any plans that we had to make sure that we stay with our church through this ordeal. We're not going to abandon you. We're not going to leave you. We're in this together. And we're going to see you through it. And you're going to see us through it. Whatever God has for us and this church. But we're going to hang in there together. And through this, I really believe this, on the other end, we're going to come out stronger and better than ever before. It may look different, and it may seem different and feel different, but we're going to be better than ever. Because Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And I believe that strongly. But keep praying for each other. Pray for me. We pray for you. And keep listening. We're going to keep doing this every week, having our sermon online. I was talking with Austin earlier today, and we think we can be able to hook up the cameras. And so prayerfully, if we do this right, and I'm leaving it up to him, and he's pretty sharp at this, and maybe in the next week or two, we'll be able to do a video presentation as well as the preaching, so you can actually see it too. But we want to thank you for that. Let me just make a clarification. I messed up on those bones. I said David, and then I think I said Jacob. It was actually Joseph. They were taking the bones of Joseph out of Egypt to go to Israel. And so I've never claimed to be the smartest Bible theologian, but I didn't mean to mess that up. It was the bones of Joseph, but the point was those were dead bones. And when the disciples and all those other 500 saw Jesus, they didn't just see dead bones, they saw flesh and body. And Jesus talked and walked and ate and spoke and heard, just like he did before he was crucified. But anyway, we love you, and we'll look forward to preaching to you again next week. God bless.